Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity today to hear your word, Father. And we just ask that you let it flow through us today. And Father, just teach us what you want us to hear through this class today. And Father, we just thank you for everyone who's here today. And we want to give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so this is going to be a little bit different. You ready for different? Yes or no?
Yes.
If you're not, tough.
As you probably well know, I'll try anyway.
So this is going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to be giving as many scriptures as I normally do because I really felt the Lord wanted us to kind of dig into something here. And so we'll set this up with, we remember that the Holy Spirit is the word pneuma, and it means breath, life-giving spirit, or wind, right? Remember all that? Okay, so now we're going to talk just briefly about the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Of course, Pentecost means 50th, so we know what the Day of Jubilee was and all that. So there was a huge Day of Jubilee at Pentecost. So on the day, I'm going to restart with, it's Acts 2. On the day, in verse 1, on the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled. I like that word, fulfilled. If it's fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, then it's fulfilled today, right? Mm-hmm. Still fulfilled. All the disciples are gathered in one place. There's your oneness. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house. Well, what's the definition of the Holy Spirit? Wind.
Yeah.
Rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. Okay? We got that? Mm-hmm. Didn't come from the three dimensions. It came from a heavenly dimension. So if it comes from a heavenly dimension, it's supernatural. It's not something that is natural. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. I mean, think about that right now. If we were in that room, some call it the upper room. There's proof that it may not have been the upper room. It might have been at a temple or whatever, but it doesn't matter, it happened. Us sitting here in this room and all of a sudden this wind comes through, the windows are shut, everything's shut, doors shut, and this wind comes through supernaturally. And it was so overpowering that you could hardly sit in your seat. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, so we're not going to go there. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped. Are you filled and equipped?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. We are filled and equipped. You know, I think we sometimes live beneath where we really have been filled and equipped to live, right? Mm-hmm. And I just put this in, filling of the Spirit, both inwardly for our life and outwardly for the ministry. You got it? So that the Holy Spirit fills us inwardly so that he can be our comforter, he can be our guide. What do you say, Mike? Your guide, is that what you say?
Yep.
Guide. So he can be directing us to what we wanted, where we need to go, what we need to do, what we need to say. But it's just as important for that. It's like the definition of grace. It's just important to bring that out in the life and have that share what you have with others. And it doesn't necessarily mean hitting them over the head with scripture or putting Jesus on your finger and shoving it down their throat. It's your life. It's your lifestyle. It's what you say. It's what you do. So many people say, you know, be a good witness to the Lord and sometimes use words. So anyway, they were filled and equipped. So you are filled inwardly for your life and then outwardly for your ministry. And we are all ministers, every one of us. You're a minister. And you have a flame of fire inside of you that God wants to come forth to help others. It says, with the Holy Spirit, and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. We're going to get into the gifts of the Spirit maybe in another Sunday, because I've got some stuff in there on that. Sometimes when people get baptized with the Holy Ghost, they speak in tongues a lot. And then all of a sudden, 20 years later, they go, wow, I haven't spoken in tongues in a while. I mean, speaking in tongues is your prayer language, and as I said, we'll get into that more later on, but it's something that is between you and God. It's a prayer language that you and God, He understands what you're saying. You may not have the interpretation, but He does. And usually if you're praying in tongues, you're worshiping the Lord.
Yes.
You're praising the Lord. So that's a good thing. I don't do it as much as I, you know, Paul says, hey, I speak in tongues more than all of you. I don't speak in tongues as much as I really should. And I've made more of a concerted effort to speak in tongues. You want to know a fun little, hey, how you doing?
Good.
A fun little exercise is to try this. It's fun and it's interesting. Speak in tongues and read a scripture at the same time. Then reverse it. Read the scripture and speak in tongues in here. Now, what do you think that does? What do you think that does? It'll be awkward at first, but if you can do that, what do you think it does? I mean, I've practiced it a few times this week.
What made you do it?
I just felt that the Holy Spirit wanted me to, and I think it gets you to a point where you're not relying on self. You are in a spiritual realm more if you're, because doing that is not natural. It's not natural, is it, to be able to...
Speaking in tongues isn't natural.
No, there you go.
Right.
It's not at all. But if you practice that, I think it just gets you into a heavenly realm. You know, you're not... Sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, when I first started speaking in tongues, I was trying too hard. You know, I was trying to enunciate the words and all that, and that's not what the Lord wants.
No, it's a hand flowing.
Exactly. So I think what that does is get you into the Spirit. And again, it may not be for you, but it was just interesting.
Doesn't the Lord have to reveal it to you? Because some of us don't know tongues, so He's not revealed it to us. So how could we speak it if we don't know it?
Well, I mean, that's, you take it to the Lord.
Oh, gotcha.
You
take
it to
the
Lord.
Not everybody knows it.
You say, Lord, Paul spoke in tongues more than any of the people of that day.
Oh.
So apparently it's important or Paul wouldn't do it.
Oh.
And so if you're not speaking in tongues, get with the Lord and say, Lord, if this is what you want for me, then that's great. If it's not, it may be for another day.
Right.
You know, I all I can tell you is if you take it to the Lord, he'll answer you.
Right.
He'll answer you. And again, is tongues necessary for going to heaven when you die? Absolutely not. But it's really good because it's that prayer language, like Brenda was saying, it's speaking that heavenly language where the Lord and you commune.
When I first got saved, I won't name the church, but they didn't believe in speaking in tongues. And in my hunger and reading the Word, because Betty, his sister, mm-hmm. and a mentor friend of mine, we were friends, and we talked about what are we here for and all this. And then when I was in California, she called me because she got saved. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, you know, I found the answer. All that we had questions about, and we would be on the phone all night. My mom would never get on us. She said, I found it. So when I came back, God had been dealing with my heart. And anyway, I got saved. We were, a carload of us, going to a revival meeting. And I said, hey, what's this thing about? And I've been reading about in Acts and about the Holy Spirit. And Betty and Nedrick were off in the middle. They was nudging me to be quiet because the ones in the front, she didn't think they believed in that because they were old ones from the church. And I said, well, I can just say one thing. What all that God has, I want it all.
Amen.
I remember saying that.
Amen.
So then afterwards, that week, they got in touch with me on Monday or Tuesday or something, invited me to Nedra's house, and said, I was saying, what you have read is so, and that, and Betty was just ministered, but you know. As soon as I sat down in the chair and they got behind me and laid hands on me, I just started praising God and flowing in tongues because he'd already gave me a hunger for it and then began to open up and give me understanding
yes.
of it. And I want it. Mm-hmm. But I know some people that want it because they think it's power. Mm-hmm. They want the power. And I remember it's a relative of mine, and Betty would not pray with them to receive it. She said, no, because you need to want God above all else. Then he adds, mm-hmm. you know, and gives. And so she wouldn't pray with this individual. And when they became so serious, they were saved, but so serious and wanting God, we were praying together one time, and she began to mm-hmm. flow and speak because mm-hmm. it's unto him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he many times gives interpretation.
Right.
You know, if there's a group and you're speaking for it, then there should be interpretation.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Yes.
It's one of the gifts.
If you're by yourself, sometimes you're in worship and there are no words to express what you're feeling and what you're trying to say unto God, and it comes, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, and you're never, if there's always a renewal and a refreshing, and mm-hmm. it always does something.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
absolutely.
Man,
that's a very good mm-hmm. explanation of the whole thing of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's very good. I mean, it's there for anybody that's not speaking in tongues. If you're in this class, you've got the Holy Spirit, even if you're not in this class. But it's just mm-hmm. a matter of you exercising it and having the faith to speak it forth. And in the beginning, it could be just like ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You know, it could just be a one-syllable thing.
And
you know?
Some people speak it, it sounds like a language.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also,
yeah. And in some cases, it is a language.
Yes.
You know,
Brother
so.
Skinner called, to the, he was at church at Elmwood, and the group over at the Tobias was going to church, didn't believe, and he was talking, and he said, well, I know it's true because my mom's been saved all these years. She's always flow. So he said, I know it's real.
Yeah.
So it gave him a hunger. Brother Skinner was getting ready in the service, and he looked out, and he said, I don't normally do this, but I know there's someone here that has questions about the Holy Spirit and is born, and up Tobias got right there. He was sitting on the end and went up. Brother Skinner laid hands on him. There was others that came around, you know, to lay hands
mm-hmm.
and start praying for him. He didn't like, but he started praising God in just a little bit. And then Brother Skinner told him, get alone with God, worship mm-hmm. and praise mm-hmm. him and spend time with him mm-hmm. and he will enlarge, you know, this. And all of it is to know him.
That's right.
It's,
that's
yeah.
right. If you're trying to make sense of it with this, the carnal mind, it's foolishness.
It's
but it's not foolishness
it's
with the mind
him.
Of Christ, because it's communing with the Lord, and that's always good. Anybody else?
Well, my son speaks in tongues. All the time. And so when he first started doing it, what with me, or, you know, that I heard all the time, he speaks, I says, how come I can't speak it? He says, well, you gotta just talk with God, you know, and he'll give it to you.
He'll lose your tongue.
So I said, well, I've asked him many a times, and I haven't got it yet. And Jim says, well, you gotta keep going, you know, keep praying. And I says, does he love you more than me? Because
no,
you speak it and I don't. He give it to you, and I get frustrated. And he said, no. He loves us the same, you know. If we speak it, that doesn't mean he loves you more. And I said, well, why don't he give it to me? He said, well, probably because he knows what you'll do with it.
Well, it's for everybody. It's for anybody that desires it. You desire it. I mean, you don't need us to lay hands on you and coach you through it. You don't need that. But if you want that, we will.
No. He just...
I mean, when you're alone with the Lord, just he's there. He's causing you to want him to give you that gift. He's already given it to you, but you have to start speaking it out in faith. You have to start, even if it's a one-syllable word, you just have to keep speaking it forth. And guess what? Then he'll take over.
At
you know, the old expression, if you want to be enthusiastic in your job or your life or whatever, you may have to just start acting enthusiastic, and then the enthusiasm will take over.
Yeah.
You know, you may not feel like you want to be enthusiastic, but if you become enthusiastic about something, then the enthusiasm takes over. And I think that's very similar to tongues.
Well, he was in church. And this guy was talking, and the preacher or whoever it was went to Jim, and Jim said, you know, nothing, and he laid his hands on Jim, and well, Jim immediately hit the floor, and that's the first time that ever happened to him. And then he started, when he got up, he starts talking or speaking in tongues. And the only thing he said was, Gia, Gia, Gia.
See, there you go.
That was it.
There you go.
He didn't say anything, not another word or whatever you call it in him until much later.
Yes.
But
that's normal. That's typical. I mean, some people though, they just the rivers of water start flowing.
Yeah.
I wasn't one of those. I was like your son. It was very simple. I mean, look at a baby. A baby says dada and mama, whatever, before they speak in sentences, right?
Then they have their own language.
Exactly. Yeah.
So. But he prays in tongues.
Well,
that
keep asking, seeking, and knocking. God will give it to you. Just keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Okay? And you'll be fine. You're going to come in here one day and say, hey, I spoke in tongues all week. I couldn't speak English.
You know,
maybe he gives it to some and not to some other people.
Now, if you desire it.
To everybody.
Okay. Let me go to a scripture, and I'll prove to you, let's see, it's not where I'm at right now, but Okay, here we go. You ready for this? Luke 11:13 should be your scripture of the day. If ye then being evil, he's not talking about you, but he's talking about what's in us that may not be of him, know how to give good gifts unto your children, okay? So you give good gifts to your kids, to Jim or James, whatever his name is, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? There you go. There's your scripture.
So what does this mean?
I'm gonna get to that. Don't get ahead of me here. We got a lot to cover before we get there. So anyway, 2 Timothy says, we've all quoted this verse until we're blue in the face, and that is, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Some people have a spirit of, I don't want to just talk about tongues today, because we're going to talk about the gifts another day. So we're going to move from that. But that does fit this, like you said, some people have fear.
Yeah.
Fear of the unknown is, a lot of people have fear of the unknown. We all have had a fear of the unknown at one point in time or another. And that's what this whole lesson is about, is getting that out of us. And we're going to, again, get to that. But he has not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind.
Yes.
So, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no fear. There's power. There's love. You just love everybody unconditionally. You can't do anything but love them. I know you struggle with that, but that's true. And a sound mind. Okay, we're going to talk about the mind today. That's what we're going to, that was the topic that the Lord gave me. I'm going to skip down here. I'm going to skip all that. Because I really feel the Lord wants to get on a bead here. And this is kind of off topic. But I will say this. Holy Spirit is the love of Jehovah taking care of the human family. Okay? Do you believe that? It's true. I mean, didn't Jesus say, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter. And the Comforter is God taking care of us. The Holy Spirit is in the world today with great power and wisdom, ready to be poured upon all who look for guidance. Okay? And we're not talking about just tongues, and we're just not talking about just gifts. We're talking about a relationship. We're talking about oneness, unity, you know. Its mission is to bring all men, into communion with God. Not just the Christians. I know that doesn't fit with some people, but it says all men. To guide men, back to what Mike was saying, in order that they will not mistake the way into the light. So, how many times you heard God is light?
God is
what?
And
we are light.
Light.
Light?
Light, L-I-G-H-T. The Holy Spirit is the third in the Trinity, which in theology is designated, we've heard this many times, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The whole key, if you look at this, here's just kind of an example. The mind is the Father. The idea is the Son. The expression is the Holy Spirit. Okay? The mind of Christ is to be here. Okay? And if the mind of Christ is here, then the ideas that we come up with, the thoughts we come up with, everything that we do with our brain is going to be of God. Okay? And then the Holy Spirit gives us the unction to express it, to bring it forth. An idea, as the Son is to the Father. We all know there's one God, right? So many people say, well, how could that Father send his Son to the cross? That's cruel. Well, if there's one God, he sent himself, didn't he? I mean, if there's one God. So he didn't say, you know, Oscar didn't say, well, Mark, you got to do this, you know, whatever. No, Oscar and Mark would be one, and then the Lamb of God took away all the sins of the world through that one act of being crucified. So anyway.
Can I say something to go along with
what? Yeah, please.
The Lord dealt with me one time about the gospel, you know, the gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Same as in the beginning with, you know, God. All, you know, the word logos there, what the Lord, the definition that the Lord gave me for the word logos is the thoughts, was what you were saying, mm-hmm. the intentions, mm-hmm. and the purposes of God.
That's it.
Now, mm-hmm. the thought being God thought, mm-hmm. his intention was to come as a man, mm-hmm. and to redeem mankind, and his purposes will be brought about through the Holy Spirit working in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
See? So it's all one. It's not three different things. It's all one, you know. And like I've explained to people before, I'm one person sitting here, but to you all, I'm Brother Oscar, or I'm Pastor, or whatever you want to call me. Hopefully not something bad. But to Margaret, as soon as I get around Margaret, I'm Junior Honey. I mean, that's what she called me all the time, Junior Honey. To my son, I'm Dad. But it's still all just me. But it's aspects of my personality, and that's what this thing's all about with the Trinity. The Trinity is the three aspects of God's personality that is the empowering force that was sent to redeem mankind and to bring mankind into that proper relationship with himself. And you know, everybody tries to make it into three little distinct things that are out there, and they're all separate. They're not separate. That's why Jesus could say, when he told them, when you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. Don't you realize that the things that I do, these are the Father's? You know, and you know, have I been with you so long and you never knew me? You know, he told them that. Well, you know, we have to realize that, you know, man has really mucked this whole thing up. I mean,
religion,
yeah. But I mean, it's because it's been based in man's ideals, yeah. rather than in the reality of God.
And much of it is natural.
Yeah, it is,
and it's understandable. Yeah. We're, you know, I said this before.
How can you make three things be one thing? Right. You know, and you know that's the way people look at it, you know, with a natural mind. But
we're spirits. Spiritual beings with a human being experience, mm-hmm. not what religion will say is that we're human beings living in a spiritual experience.
And think about that word that you said, human being.
Yeah.
If any of y'all understand art, which I liked art and I was good at it, when you hew something down, it's less than what it was originally. You can take red and you can hue it down to a light red, you can hue it down to a pink, you can hue it down to where it's almost white, you know, but just got a slight color. Man has been he has entered into a hued down state, and God doesn't call us humans, he calls us man, you know. And, you know, we bore the image of the first Adam. Now we're bearing the image of the second Adam, which was Christ, you know,
It can be a deep subject.
It's man that does the human down, you know. It's not God. Yeah.
So let's refresh this here a little bit. So the mind is the Father, the idea is the Son, and the expression of those ideas is the Holy Spirit. Does everybody got a hold of that right now? The ideas, as the Son is to the Father, so is the idea to the mind. So that's one, right? The Father and the Son are one. Jesus said that. He said, Lord, make them one as you and I are one. So this can get really, really deep, and I don't want it to. So hopefully God's given me the words to say. But anyway, so far we got that mind, idea, and expression. But here's my thing. You know, the Bible is an awesome, awesome, awesome spirit-filled book. But sometimes God created us, didn't he? Don't we want to know how the physiological parts of our body to... And we're going to get into that because I think this to me was a real eye-opening thing. So, all right, so if you stop me if you need me to rehash, but it says, mind is one with its ideas. So the Father, the God mind, is one with its offspring. Who's the offspring?
He's us.
Huh?
Us.
Yeah. Okay. It's one with the offspring, the idea, the Son. Mind is coexistent with its ideas. Now, that's pretty easy to understand, right? I mean, whatever, you know, if you have the mind of Christ versus the mind of the natural world, the three dimensions out there, if you're going to stay in the three dimensions, then guess what? You're going to have a natural existence, and you're missing out on a lot. So, mind is coexistent with its ideas, and there is continual interaction and communion. Right? Your mind and your thoughts are interacting constantly. Whether they be good thoughts or they be bad thoughts. It's constantly intermingling and going on, even in your sleep.
Yeah.
That's why you have dreams. Huh?
That's why you have dreams.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So we got that, right? Because this is a building block thing. Okay, now the ideas is a thought or suggestion as to a possible course of action. We have these all day long. If you're still working, you're one of these poor souls that still have to punch a
work for 15 more years.
Then you know that during your day, you've got a lot of things that you're thinking about, your job, and what is the best course of action for me to take to accomplish this so that I can keep my job. The expression is the manner or form in which a thing is expressed. Okay? So if you've got this thought, well, I need to check this tax statement, and what's the best way to go about this? And yeah, okay, this is that idea that has the best possible course of action. Then you go do it. You express that thought in actions, right? Okay. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to realize the activities of spirit in individual consciousness. Okay, you got that? So to realize, to be filled with the Spirit means basically it's all God. I'm not saying that the rest of your life is, but at that time, you know you've heard from the Lord. And you've got the mind of Christ at that time. It's just the whole key is to develop that so that it's 24/7. And that's when you will be complete in Him. But anyway, we're not there yet, but we're getting there.
Give me a copy of this.
Huh?
Give me a copy of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, yeah. I can email it to you if you want to give me email addresses. So, okay, so I know this is kind of crazy, but anyway, I have questions. I want to know what the heck's going on. You know, I want to know what's going on, so I think it will make it easier for me to ultimately be in the heavenly realm, because it hasn't gotten me there yet. All the scriptures and all the memorization and all that, it's that stepping stone, but it's not gotten me there yet. I want to live in the heavenlies like Jesus did. That's my goal. Okay, so here we are. The quickening of a man by the Holy Spirit is peculiar to each individual. We were just saying that earlier. And must be experienced to be understood. That's the whole thing, is the more experience you get in a job, the better you get at it, right?
Yeah. Hope so.
Well, that's the goal. That's at least the goal.
Some people.
So, you know, so the idea is that we want to experience him.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
Okay, so we want to experience him. All this other stuff is fluff. I mean, it's all, you know, everything's, he'll use everything to get us to where we are today. Yes. But when it all comes down to it, everything is fluff if it's not directing you to the Father.
And knowing him.
And knowing him. And experiencing his presence. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so you have to experience his presence. Okay? So I'm going to read that again. The quickening of a man by the Holy Spirit is peculiar to each individual and must be experienced to be understood. If you experience his presence, you're going to know him better. If you experience your spouse's presence, you're going to know them better, right? Okay, so the Holy Spirit is authority on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit knows every word that's in the Bible, every verse, but knows a heck of a lot more than just what's in the Bible. Okay? He knows everything. It said that there couldn't be volumes enough to put down what Jesus said, right? Didn't the Bible say that? I mean, just what he said, I mean, he was only walking around for 3.5 years and there couldn't be volumes large enough. So think about the Holy Spirit. He knows everything. Everything the Son said, everything the Father said, everything you say, everything Joe Blow says, everything. He knows everything. Okay. So he is the authority on Jesus. It is the only authority that Jesus ever recognized. Think about that one for a second. And whoever attempts to set forth his gospel from any other standpoint is in the letter and not the spirit. Just what Oscar was talking about. We don't want to be in the letter. There's billions of religions out there that's in the letter, right? I mean, seriously, they interpret it this way, and they tell you this is the way you are to interpret it, and that's that. Okay, that's the letter. And the letter will break you down. The letter is not bringing life.
The letter kills.
Huh?
The scripture says the letter kills.
It's not bringing life, it's bringing death.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about just religion? Sorry, because I missed it, obviously.
Which one?
As far as just the letter, just stick with what you're saying. The letter is what?
Oh, okay.
The religious people that tell you this is, you know, Baptists say this is what you're supposed to do because you can't read it yourself and you're not being discerned by the Holy Spirit to teach it for yourself. Is that what you're saying?
The letter of the law kills.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's the law. Thank you.
Okay. You've answered.
Letter of the word.
It's the law. Yeah.
Kills. It doesn't bring life. The Spirit brings life. The Spirit is the only thing that can bring life, period.
And the letter of the law is like all these
do's and don'ts.
Yes, thank you.
That's going to make you holy.
Just making sure I understand.
Yeah, we were watching this movie, just to give you a quick, we were watching this movie and this really bad person that was doing bad things, buddy, he was the most religious Catholic you could ever find. I mean, he crossed himself all through the movie, and he was doing this and doing that, and then going out and killing people and what. So this is the letter, you know. I mean, it's just stuff that is not bringing you any closer to a relationship with God. It's just easing your conscience that if you do this, God's with me. Or whatever you do. You
must
know
have been
what I'm
watching
saying?
The Godfather.
Huh? What's that?
You must have been watching The Godfather.
Oh, I know. It's all over that, isn't it? Okay. All right. It is the only authority that Jesus ever recognized, and whoever attempts to set forth his gospel from any other standpoint, any other religion, any other... I mean, they've taken the Bible, and you've got the Mormons have the Book of Mormon, and then you've got the... Jehovah's Witness has their own translation, the World Translation. That is not of the Spirit. I'm going to just say it. I don't care who's listening out there on the internet. It's not, those books are not of the Spirit. The Bible is of the Spirit. But we don't want to just be content with the Bible, because there's a lot more than what the Bible, the Bible's awesome. I read it every day. I will continue to read it every day. It's the most awesome book. People say, why don't you read novels, or why don't, I said, man, I want this.
There is a novel right here.
I want
this. This is drama right here with everybody.
But you
just
only have understanding and knowing as the Holy Spirit
opens
it to you.
Right.
Because you just can't read it and say, oh, and you know something.
That's right.
It's only as the Holy Spirit
reveals it, opens your eyes and lets you see what he's trying to say, let you hear, unstops your ears so you can hear what he's saying. All of it. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here.
That's funny. I wanted to make a comment.
Sure.
Because it's just kind of, when I was reading scripture, listening to either Charles Stanley or opening the word where it says, I have to go. I have to go. Even the men and the disciples that were there said, you know, what are you talking about? What do you mean you're leaving? You can't go, you know. And they didn't even understand. And they were with him for 3 years. And they still didn't understand
they
that.
Did
I have
the
to
day
go.
Of Pentecost.
And then it's like, oh my goodness, now all of a sudden my eyes have been opened, and now we understand what he's talking about. And even after all those miracles and all the things that he's done, they still didn't understand. Like, I have to go.
Right.
And then you got the doubting Philip and all those other people that, Thomas and, you know. It just amazes how everything is confirmation.
It all fits together.
So he has to have that Spirit in us. So, so go ahead and.
But it all makes
when we look at all of them, those disciples, we see ourselves.
Right.
All these, you know.
That's us. It's good.
So that's exactly it, and. It says, no man can know what Jesus' doctrine is except he gets it direct from the one and only custodian.
Thank you, Jesus.
And thank God for pastors and teachers, and we're all pastors and teachers to a degree. I mean, we're all ministers, let's say. But you know what? God wants you to use that, but here it's not the case, because, I mean, I wouldn't be here if I thought that it wasn't the case. But so many places, you can be misled by someone standing in a pulpit with all kinds of doctrines of divinity and whatever. And I'm not saying all of them are. I'm not saying that for a second. But you got to know for yourself.
That's it.
Huh?
You gotta know that's it. That's all I'm getting.
Yeah, you know.
But all this and those that minister and you know, the parts that he has, you know, the five, you know, ministry.
Yeah, fivefold ministry.
Yes. We still have to know him for ourselves.
Yes.
And then when you do, I don't care what is not true and what is wrong, like you say, these doctrines all, you don't receive it, because right here you get a witness here that is.
Well, you just prophetically spoke the next sentence. Listen to this. It is not to come second hand, but each for himself must receive it from the Holy Spirit, which is sent by the Father in the name of the Son.
Yes.
Okay?
So good.
The name of Jesus, the name above all names. Okay, so if you... Okay, we already did that scripture. So, okay, so I was just... praying and whatever, and you can see I was writing as fast as I could, so I may not be able to read it. It may not make any sense, but at the time it made sense. So let me read this, and we'll close with this. Okay, with any comments. Okay, like I said earlier, we are probably living well beneath where we should be living. And what he has provided for us to live, that place. So I just took a thing called stress, okay? You don't have to be in a job and be stressful.
Right.
Jobs are stressful, don't get me wrong, but you don't have to be in a job and be stressful. You could be retired and sitting on the couch all day and going to bed and then getting back up and sitting on the couch all day. That could be stressful because
it can't.
Okay. For me it would be, but anyway, so it says when you are living in stress, you narrow your focus. Let me take these off. You narrow your focus. All your attention has been placed into this world system that we live in, this earthly realm or whatever. Would you all agree with that? When you're living in stress, all you can see is stress. You know, you're not living in that heavenly realm. You are living in that earthly lower realm. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. That's okay. When you're complaining. Yeah.
This is what you're doing when you're living in this realm. You're trying to predict the future based on the past. Think about that. You're trying to base your future on your past. Does that sound insane? To me it does, but we all do it. And that's just insanity. That's not the mind of Christ. Because he said that, forget about the past. Look forward to what's coming ahead, man. The past is the past. Not a daggone thing you can do about it.
Then learn from it.
You can learn from it,
yes.
But you don't base your
you don't base
the rest of your life because of your past, because guess what? You're going to most of the time thinking about your past are the things that you messed up on. Mm-hmm. Isn't that sad that our mind mm-hmm. goes to that instead of all the good things you did in life? You focus on all the mistakes you made and the regrets and whatever. That's why you got to leave the past in the past.
Yeah.
You got to get rid. That's the first thing you got to do is get rid of the past thinking. Okay? So you are trying to predict the future based on your past. Matter trying to change matter. God is energy, man. That God is life, energy. It's great stuff. But the matter is temporary. It's temporal. It's not eternal. It's temporary. So you've got this matter, you know, when you're in that realm of the earthly realm, you've got matter chain trying to change matter. You know, whether it be a problem you have or a situation that you just, it's troubling you and you're just stressing out over it. When you open your focus to the heavenlies, you stop thinking. Oh, how many times you go to bed and all you do is think, and no wonder people can't sleep. I mean, if your mind is thinking about what you're going to do at work tomorrow, what you're going to do, it's just running. And it's not getting anywhere. It's on a treadmill. It's just running.
It keeps you awake.
Yeah, it's like a little mouse on one of those wheels, you know. You get nowhere, but you're thinking. So when you're focused more on the heavenlies, then guess what? You leave the earthly behind. And that's what we got to get. We got to get our focus on the heavenlies. We got to open up so that God can come in and get rid of that stuff. Because honestly, without the Lord, I don't think you can get rid of your past. I don't think you can get all this garbage out of your life.
Okay.
Huh?
You can't, because you can't do it yourself.
Right.
If you could, just...
So you got to get in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies is where you're going to see change in your life. Think and start connecting with God. And I wrote down here, no more DIY. You know what DIY is, right? You watch these shows, do-it-yourself shows.
Yeah.
And they're going to take this house that's all messed up and they're going to make it into a mansion. DIY, you know, there's so much out there that we do as DIY, and we got to stop it. Stop the DIY. The Lord just trying to say something right now. Let's see. Do it yourself.
Do it yourself. It's DIY.
DIY. Sorry. Do it yourself and switch it to God doing it. I don't have an acronym, but anyway. Okay. Long-term effects of stress hormones. This is a physiological thing to your body. Long-term effects of stress hormones are pushing the genetic buttons and can create disease, dis-ease. When you're stressed, you're in a state of dis-ease. You're not peaceful. You're not, you know, doing all the things that God's already given us. All we gotta do is take it. So, you know, you've all heard that, you know, stress and pressure and all this stuff can make you sick. I mean,
it causes your body to give off enzymes and things that, even in your stomach, right, you have acid and mm-hmm. things like that give off enzymes. Because God never made us to have to get, you know, as we look to Him, it's altogether different.
That's right. I mean, think about what this would do in the mental illness field. Mm. I mean, think about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lord has allowed me to experience a little of anxiety and mental illness. And I think He allowed that because He wants me to know what it's like, I guess. I don't know why He allowed it, but that's the only thing I can come up with. And so, you know, I've had panic attacks. I know what that's like. And guess what? I'm going to just really start focusing in on the heavenlies to get anything out of me that needs to be out. But it's a physiological thing. He created these bodies a certain way, and we need to know what causes what. It doesn't mean that you've gone away from the scriptures or whatever. It just gives you insight on your whole makeup and how He created you. Leave the familiar feelings. We have familiar feelings in us. Leave the familiar feelings that has defined your life for all these years and step out into the unknown, Abraham. That's a scary thing for a lot of people. But that's exactly what God told Abraham. He says, go to a place. I'm not going to tell you where it is yet. You're going to get there. Trust me, and you'll get there. I'm almost finished here. Step out into the unknown. Leave anger, resentment, pain, your past, all this garbage. And when you do that, guess what comes in?
Grace.
Huh?
Grace.
Peace. Love.
Peace, like he said.
Yeah, peace. And love encompasses all of it. Love.
It covers.
Huh?
It covers.
It covers it all, a multitude of sins. Love. That's where we have to get to. Because when we're operating in love, we are operating in the fullness of God. Because He is love. It's all about love. You know, you can do all these doctrines and all these dogmas and whatever, but it all comes down to love. And when we love, we are operating. You can never fail. It says love can never fail. You know, what's it say at the end of 1 Corinthians 13? It says peace or hope and charity. And the greatest of these,
faith, hope, and charity.
Faith, hope, and charity. Yeah. So, yeah, faith is important. Yeah, hope. Yeah, He wants you to hope in Him. But the biggest and most important one that none of it will ever come close to is love.
So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Yes, yes. Man, that's a powerful statement right there. It really is. 70, this is just something I was researching. 70% of some people's time is living in stress. You know, stress is like that frog in the pot where you start the fire up and it gets nice, warm, and cozy, and the frog likes it, and next thing you know,
cooked.
He's cooked. You got frog legs coming up. Okay? So it's the same with stress, man. It'll sneak up on you, and you don't even know you're stressed sometimes because it's familiar. Let's get these familiar emotions and familiarity
feelings.
Out of us.
Feelings,
yeah. Once you connect with God, you stop thinking. Isn't that funny? Stop thinking. Stop thinking. I tell myself, I'll yell it out. Julie probably thinks I'm half crazy, but that's okay. I'll say, stop. Just stop. My mind is just spinning. And I go, stop. I don't want this anymore. And the Lord says, this is funny. Okay, so let's say your mind is going. This, I'm going to close on this. Let's say your mind is going. And you're saying, stop, stop, stop. Well, once you get it to stop, then God says,
now what?
He says, good, now I can clean up this mess. I can clean this mess up. Finally, finally stop thinking and start trying to figure it out himself. And now I can come in and clean this garbage out. You know, I look at a hoarder. You know, a hoarder's got stuff stacked up to the ceiling. Now I can clean it up. Okay, that's I think one of the result is union and oneness with God. That's the result. If you can, but it's a discipline thing. You have to really discipline yourself to do this. Can he do it supernaturally just with a snap of the finger? Yeah, but typically wants you to.
There's
progress.
Steps you have to take because
yes.
I can't sleep at night in my mind with other family and friends and stuff I'm doing for and all this. I said, I'm going to go lay here and do this. I get up out of bed and go up, and then I just start praying
mm-hmm.
and talking to him
yep.
and worshiping. And as you do this mind,
yes.
And then before I know, I've dropped off to sleep mm-hmm. because he, you know, you've come into his presence. And he has stabilized his mind.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. We want to practice the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
That's all this sums up. This wasn't too deep or anything, was it? I mean, did you pretty much get most of it?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Actually, I was in a meeting yesterday, and we were talking about putting ourselves in a box. It's just
exactly
the box.
That's exactly it. Yep. Exactly. Praise the Lord. Okay, Brenda, you want to pray?
Oh, yes. Father, we just thank you for the word. We thank you, Father, how you are so revealing yourself to us and in us and through us even greater. Father, we just open ourselves to you, and we just desire always to come into your presence,
yes.
Oh God,
yes.
That you may have your way and
yes.
your will and purpose and plan in our lives and through our lives. And we thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Go to the next service, Lord. You be glorified.
Yes.
You be glorified.
Yes.
We thank you and give you the praise, Lord.
Yes, we
in
do.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.